Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin', my nigga? It's PSA motherfucking podcast. You already know what it is, man. My nigga, let's talk about, man, day one. KOTD, King of the Dot. Blackout 7. Shout out Organic Gully. Bishop Bagante, Avocado. All those niggas over there, KOTD, man. If you're not know right now, King of the Dot got a two-day event in Toronto. Day one was last night. Day two will be today. Let's just talk about the events itself, my niggas. The first battle of the night was Aftershock and Jeff. Like, I caught the second round of that, though. No, I caught the first round of Aftershock, part itself. Listen, I'm not too familiar with these two brothers here. I'm not going to sit in front of y'all. But after watching this battle, I had Aftershock winning this shit 3-0. That's my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Throughout the battles, you see a lot of times Head Ice and Roan having a press conference, man. That shit was funny as shit. You damn near had Head Ice trying to sun Roan and shit. I thought that was hilarious. What do y'all think about the press conferences that King of the Dot does on these pay-per-views? I kind of like it. I like the fact that Organic and other battle rappers, and he got like a, like it's damn near like a fucking watching the NBA playoffs when you got reporters in the room asking questions after the game and shit. Like, before the game or after the game, I kind of like it and shit with what King of the Dot does that with the press conferences. I wish URL, RBE, Queen of the Ring, and them other leagues would actually do that also. Well, I mean, it's safe to say they don't do pay-per-views all the time. Especially URL, they don't do pay-per-views all the time, but just to have that kind of element, to see Smack or Beasley stand up in front of a podium and address guys that you can have in the building, a Jay Black, a Unbiased Review, those kind of brothers, hip-hop is real, you know what I'm saying, just sitting there asking those kind of questions. So I do like the fact King of the Dot does bring that element of battle rap with the press conference and shit, you know what I mean? Second battle was A Ward versus DNA. DNA deadass was rocking a fucking Al Capone Cigarello shirt. I thought Al Capone was going to come back and break down this fucking lease and shit, but that's neither here nor there. Round one, DNA sets it off. I mean, I'm not going to give you too much of the bars, but some shit that was pretty good. He admitted that he lost to Illmac when he battled Illmac on King of the Dot. He admitted that. The Bailey Ape line, that shit was hard. The Steak and Shake line was hard. Man, DNA knows how to control that King of the Dot crowd, my niggas. I can't even hold you and shit. And I want to ask y'all a question, man. Is it me, or give me y'all opinion, does DNA do better on King of the Dot than he does on URL? Like, really break that down if you think. One of DNA's best battles of all time is DNA Disaster, in my opinion. That's one of his best battles and shit. You know what I'm saying? He always shows up on these stages and shit. You know what I mean? The Ward flips, man, them shits were tough, man. Our DNA was flipping A Ward, the Ward. You know how he flipped that shit, which is dope. A Ward's first round, he rebutted the pick line by DNA. Man, sometimes you niggas will try to rebuttal shit and just flop. The slept on mattress line was cool. Said DNA gets battled every 2 weeks. Yo, the Nintendo Switch line, A Ward, that shit was tough, my nigga. I'm not gonna hold you with shit. The car tire scheme was cool. The beatbox, Red Fox Steady line was straight. You know what I mean? To me, A Ward didn't really heat up till the middle and ended good. But I got DNA winning round one, man. I really do. Round two, DNA, you know, the Danny Myers ball head, A hat line, that shit was fire. The AZ affirmative action line was cool. Scooby's van line was straight. The new body behind bars, Gucci Man line was cool. Solid round by DNA. I like this first round a little better. Round two, A Ward, you know, he played more to the King of the Dot crowd. You know what I mean? He's breaking down DNA setups. you know, 24 battles last year, no quotable lines. Kind of did the same thing he did in the first round. I talked about DNA's resume, whatever. The Jesus Saves t-shirt that A-War was rocking, I thought that was dope. You know, I would edge round two to A-Ward. I would edge it to A-Ward. Not taking nothing away from DNA's second round, y'all. But I would edge that round to A-Ward, though, man. Round three, DNA rebuttal, the Jesus Save His Shirt line. It was cool. It was all right. Man. I thought both of those guys tried to rebuttal each other. And when they both rebuttal their lines, it was like, you know what I mean? DNA was getting an A-Ward for talking that Christian rapper and acting like he's better than everybody else. Now, here's the thing, DNA, what I got a problem with. Not a problem, but I'm not trying to be Team Petty right now. You talk to A-Ward and talk to him about Christianity, but how he acts like, you know, being that he's the man of the Lord, that they think they're better than everybody else. But your man Saga raps the same thing that he does. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, damn, my brother, if you're getting an A-Ward for spitting Christianity bars, my nigga, the same nigga on your squad, Saga, you know that guy who looks like Jazz the Rapper? He does the same thing. I don't want to say it's contradictory, but I'm just saying, you know, it is what it is. Solid round by DNA. Round three, A-Ward. One thing about A-Ward, it takes him a while that I notice y'all in his rounds to heat up. Like, not saying he has filler, because he doesn't have filler, but, like, in the beginning of his rounds, he's like, and then he takes some time to heat up and shit. You know what I mean? I got DNA winning this, man. I got DNA winning this battle. I don't want to say clearly, but I got him winning 2-1. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. I don't know. It was a good, you know what I'm saying? It was a good battle. The next battle of the night was Chilla Jones versus Jonage, a.k.a. Disaster Jr., man. Now, Jonage sets it off. Kool-Aid Man punched the wall, was all right. The Forrest Gump retarding run was cool. He stumbled a little bit there. Like, you almost forgot your rhymes, but you caught it back, though. He flipped Chilla Prozac line. That was pretty solid. It was a solid first round. It wasn't bad, but it didn't wow you and shit. There was no haymakers. And then round one, Chilla, the nigga spelled out Jonah's name in a fucking scheme. I thought that was crazy. The Rum Comfort in, that was hard. The Harley Quinn line was fire. The TaylorMade Home Improvement line, which was dope. I thought Chilla first round was solid too. I would give Chilla the first round. I would give him that. It's not taking nothing away from Jonage, but I would give Chilla the first round. Round two, Jonage, talk about people's sales are going down. Walking Chilla line was dope. The Mandela Effect line was cool. Jonah's second round was definitely better than his first round. You know, even Chilla kind of nodded in approval in some of the bars Jonah was saying and shit. Like, you know, when you battle somebody and your opponent says some ill shit, sometimes niggas can't downplay that shit. Like, that shit was whack. Sometimes you have to give it up and be like, yo, my nigga, that shit was hard. You know what I mean? He added jokes. He had aggression. You know what I mean? I like Jonah's second round. It was better than his first round, in my opinion. Chilla, second round. Chilla started calling out Jonah for some rhymes that Jonah said in a previous battle that he fucked up in. Do y'all like when cats tell their opponent, you know, you said this against such and such, but if I said it, I would have said it like this. Do y'all like that sometimes? I like it sometimes, but it has to hit hard. You know what I mean? Chilla started getting real aggressive in this round, my nigga. I'm not going to hold you. Like, if you remember when Chilla battled Arsenal, how he kind of turned up and shit. He's aggressive. The aggressive Chilla? I like aggressive Chilla, man. I'm not going to hold you, man. I like aggressive Chilla. I can't front. The Royce penmanship, Layers line from Royce the 5'9's Layers album. I like that shit. like I said, man, I like Chilla second round. If I had to give somebody this round, I would edge Chilla this battle. The one thing about this battle, y'all, with Chilla and Jonas, is that I think this is going to be a better battle on camera when you get to sit down and not just watch it on pay-per-view, but have it to your access at all times where you can actually sit and decipher the bars that these niggas are saying. But I would edge Chilla the second round. I just would. Round three, Jonas, the Chinese finger trap line was cool. Jonas was spitting some shit in this third round, man. I'm not going to hold you, man. The Mario behind the scene, that shit was hard, Super Mario shit. You know, he started connecting better, like I said, throughout his rounds. I thought his first round was cool. Second round got better. As the rounds was going on, as the battle was proceeding, I thought Jonas was getting better and shit. You know what I mean? Round three, man, Chilla rebuttal that Mario line by Jonas. That shit was fire, my nigga. The nigga's schemes are fucking tough, my nigga. This nigga Chilla Jones might have had line of the fucking night. Yes, I'm going to say line of the fucking night, man. Chilla Jones has bar of the night, line of the night. That fucking mushroom star power line, god damn, Chilla, that shit was fucking fire, nigga. That shit was fire. Remember I told you this, man. Chilla Jones in round three had line of the night for Blackout 7, man. I'm not going to hold you niggas, man. That Mario scheme was fucking disgusting. Listen, I got Chilla winning 3-0. Not a body bag. Not a body bag again, people. Do not get my words fucked up. Jonas had some shit. I just got Chilla won each round. You know what I'm saying? I like the shit that Chilla was spitting, you know? So I got Chilla Jones 3-0, man. I mean, the schemes, word association, like I said, the energy, wordplay, mean setups by Chilla, aggressive Chilla, you know what I'm saying? So on camera, you get to decipher the bars and shit. And I see Chilla Jones rocking his new apparel. Let me just plug this right quick. I guess he got the new sweaters, the hoodie joints, with the it's a picture of Martin Luther King on it. And it says, I have a scheme. I like that, Chilla. That's dope. I'm going to have to cop one of those. Cortez versus Daylight. Now, Cortez was out here coming. Cortez, you look like a fucking 1988 drug dealer, my nigga. You look like you have some Sergio Decini type of outfit on, man. You know what I'm saying? But let's get into the battle, man. Round one, Cortez, eyelids, sippy cup. I thought that was dope. The 40 backwash line was dope. This blackout, I'm supposed to take day out. All that shit was dope. The Commissioner Gordon line was cool. The Muhammad Ali with the torch. Cortez, with all due respect, sir, and I don't know if you know this, I'm a hip-hop nut. Jada Kiss kind of said that, shaking like Ali holding the torch, but you kind of flipping around and shit. But I did like it and shit. I thought Cortez's first round was solid. It was a solid first round. Daylight goes with his material. The Peace 22 line, that shit was hard. That shit was hard. The Peace 22 line, Dave, I can't front. Daylight, throughout the first round, was talking about he's not going to talk about gun bars no more. It seemed like he was going more the conscience route, so to say, in his bars. The quill before pen, that shit was dope. I've always said this about Daylight. The nigga's pen game is dope. Like, Daylight could rhyme, my niggas. He could rap. Like, let's just talk with, like, I'm not even talking about battling right now. On a rapping type of shit, Daylight could probably be Cortez in rapping, like, in that type of shit. But in battle rap bars, I got Cortez winning the first round, man. I gotta keep it tall. That's not saying Daylight wasn't seeing anything. He was attacking Cortez the way Cortez was attacking Daylight. Round two, Cortez, the Troy Aveline was solid. That was a good joint right there. Y'all booked me for my talent. Y'all booked him for the fuckery. And sometimes they like you do some fuckery, so there's truth behind that ball that Cortez said. Cortez called out Surf, said that once you get out of the joint, that you got to come see him. Like, some of you niggas trying to downplay Cortez. I've always said I want to see Cortez and Surf. Simple fact, it's a grudge match because Cortez feels that Surf don't really show him respect. If you go back to the fucking footage that one of these niggas had with Cortez, Sue Surf, John, K-Shine, all these niggas chilling outside, they was flaming Cortez, son. They was, like, for real, the Surf was really getting at this nigga Cortez, man. So that's a battle. I've always wanted to see that. Solid round by Cortez. Round two, they, you know, he talks about some vegetable shit. Like I said, he was going back into some conscious bars. The meteorite line was dope. Like I said, it felt like they was there dropping gems on us, like jewels, if you want to so to say. The Jesus Christ line was solid. Solid round by Daylight, but I would edge Cortez again, and that's not taking nothing away from Daylight. You niggas, this is not taking nothing away from Daylight, man. I'm just saying, battle rap bars against conscious bars, we're here to see a battle, my nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It is what it is. Round three, Cortez was, this was Cortez's best round, in my opinion. Like, the round three was Cortez's best round. I mean, talking today about his fuckery that he's done in battle rap. He was the first to twerk in battle rap. Now there's a twerk in battle rap. That shit was shout out to New Jersey Twerk. The day you walk in the park. Like I said, I thought Cortez's best round was the third, my nigga. I'm not going to hold you, man. That was the best round, in my opinion, and shit. You feel me? Round three, you know, what would they do for a Klondike bar? What line was dope? They, like, had some bars here and there, man. Like, with him, once again, you gotta sit down and decipher the shit he's saying because he's in a lot of intricate shit. But I got Cortez winning all three rounds. This is my niggas. You could lose a battle three rounds and not be trash. Because Daylight is not trash. Far from trash. The man could rhyme. But I just didn't like some of... I didn't think it was battle rap bars related and shit. You feel me? Let's talk about Disaster, man. Now, this was a battle that when they, you know, throughout the night, obviously, we do not know the matchups of the battle. So they damn near have to fucking do like a screen where they're going to show us one individual and match up his name. So throughout the night, I was saying I got Disaster and Ice Pack. Yes, Young Hill. I thought it was going to be Disaster and Ice Pack battling. So we get Disaster and Serious Joe. Disaster now. Now, man, I'm trying to be, how can I say this, man? Diz decides to go first. Diz, you spent about, I don't know, 35 seconds to 40 seconds, maybe, getting at Sharone, because Sharone was talking greasy throughout the event. Anytime he didn't get a mic in his hand, pause, he was damn sure getting at you because Averb couldn't make it across the border to Canada because of passport issues. So Sharone and this nigga didn't go down. I didn't, like, my nigga, when you're battling somebody, man, I don't got no problem with a nigga getting at somebody else. But my nigga, you can't spend 35, 40 seconds of battle rap talking about another individual instead of the man in front of you, my nigga. That's just my opinion. You talked about Math Hoffa throughout every damn near round. You brought up Math Hoffa and Sirius Jones like this. Like, to me, I don't want to say that's weak writing, my nigga. Okay, you talk about it in one round, but my nigga, throughout this battle, you kept talking about Sirius Jones and Math. Like, all right, my nigga, we done heard them stories already, bro. You know what I mean? Didn't really land any haymakers to me at all, man. Diz kept talking about Jones, you know, throwing him off. Diz, that's a weak excuse, my nigga. You're a veteran, my dude. You've been here since fucking grind time, my nigga. How many battles do you have? I mean, after Arsenal, I mean, after DNA, You probably got the most battles in battle rap history, my nigga. Some niggas got you in 8 Mile Rushmore. And you up there talking about a nigga throwing you off. Jones, listen, and I don't even fuck with Jones. Everybody know that. But I'm a real nigga. Like, Jones wasn't throwing you off, my nigga. He was really talking to you, fam. Sean, I see you. I'm about to get you on right now, fam. Round one, Jones, the imaginary saxophone line was dope. Jones was spitting, man. You know what I mean? Diz, you out there pulling out your phone while a nigga rapping. So to me, when niggas pull out their phone, they got to read their bars. I mean, I don't know if you have how much prep time you have to do this, Diz. I know you got announced on the card late. I don't know if it was a late edition. But Jones came to rap, my nigga. He came to rap. I can't even hold you. I got Jones winning round one, like, clearly, in my opinion, and shit, my niggas. Clearly, his round was much more cleaner, fam. It was much more cleaner. Round two, Diz, he rebutted the Jones Donald Trump line. That was tough. I ain't gonna hold you. Once again, Diz, you wanna talk about math and Jones fighting again, man. Round two, Diz slowed in the beginning, heated up in the middle, kind of got in the second there, started doing his thing. Jones, round two. The Lush one, Sharon line was solid. A-Rack scheme was fire. I mean, Jones low-key was schooling this, my nigga. I'm not going to hold you niggas, man. We two see the battle, man. Jones bars was much more clever than me and shit. Much more shit I had to think about. I don't think Diz was attacking Jones. I'm not even saying Jones is crazy. But, my nigga, I'm watching the battle. I got Jones winning this shit 2-0 going into the third, my niggas. Facts. You know what I'm saying? Round three, this started wilding, man. This is where the shit gets close to that right here. This, you of all people cannot be putting your hands on him. First of all, nobody should be putting their hands on nobody in battle rap, my nigga. We don't need to see an altercation, especially with you, Diz. Let's just call it what it is, my nigga. I fuck with you, Diz. This is no hate. I'm just talking to you as a big homie. Like, my nigga, why wouldn't you put your hands on Sirius Jones? And shout out to Sirius Jones once again for holding restraint and not duffing you out. This, like, literally put his hands on you, my nigga. Like, if that was Calico, one of these niggas, or Tay Rock, imagine if this would have did that to Tay Rock or K Shine. Or these niggas would have snapped on this nigga, fam. Shout out to Jones for restraining himself and not taking it somewhere and not fucking up the event. Because this, it would have been on your watch, my nigga. Why the battle would have went left, in my opinion. Like I said, this was after the altercation, whatever. This was heating up after the punch. You know what I'm saying? Who is this cat? I mean, and this brought out some dude from the back. I don't know. I guess was this some nigga from New York who had issues with Sirius Jones? Because this nigga jumped on stage acting like Jones fucked his girl back in 2003 and shit. With him and Sam Scarfo, these niggas in Jersey. I don't know, my niggas. Anyway, round three, Jones went into his battle rap story. Jones seemed to get thrown off a little bit. I don't know if because when Diz Mans came out there, it just seemed like he got thrown off a little bit. Maybe he did know that nigga. I don't know. Jones pulled out his kufi, put the kufi on the head, and then started doing this, like, one Muslim talking to another Muslim. Listen, man. Bottom story, I got Sirius Jones winning this shit 3-0, man. I do, man. I just do. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Shout out to, like I said, this is day one of King of the Dot, Gully, Organic, and the rest of those dudes over there, man. So that's just what it is, man. Now, we're going into the hip-hop, man. Kendrick Lamar, K-Dot, TDE. My nigga just dropped his album, Damn, yesterday. Twitter's in an uproar. Some fuckery being thrown out here to the youth. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm going to get my man in here. Y'all know how we doing Saturdays, man. Got to get my twin in here. My twin. I got to call him my twin in hip-hop, man. Because if I don't know something, they got my back. If I know something, he got my back. So we go hand in hand here, man. So, Sean, man, talk to me, my G. What's good, brother?
What's good? You heard?
We out here, man.
We're going to talk about that K Biggie Dot. You know what I mean?
Talk about it, fam.
Yo, the old source rating, like you said, four mics, but let's take it a step further.
All right.
If you just play this over and over again, it goes to 4.5 mics.
Wow.
And the reason why it goes to 4.5 mics is because you don't really want to skip nothing. He sets it off. Once DNA comes on, that beat knocks, and he rides that beat, and he goes in. Once that starts, you don't have to sit. The album just flows for the next hour. You literally could just sit there for the next hour and listen to him go in. And so this is what happened. Definite slamming, guaranteed satisfaction. That's what four mics is. And as you keep playing it, you're like, yo, I like this song. I like this song. Damn, he got Rihanna flowing on this shit. Like, so you hear it and you're like, this shit is crazy. So it comes down to this, man. I'm giving it four mics, right? 4.5.
Wow.
As time goes by, do we go back and damn near give it classic status? Because you know when albums come up, you don't know if it's classic. You know when albums come up, you don't know if it's classic yet, right? So time will tell.
No.
But right now, it's a banger, straight up. It's everything we love about hip-hop, right?
I gave it four mics, though.
Okay. Okay.
I'm surprised, sir, you've come on the show this morning and let the public know that you've given it 4.5 mics. Now, I'm not going to say, sir, you've been critical of Kendrick, but you've been critical of Kendrick, fam. Let's call it what it is. What's the standout songs for you?
DNA is a standout song to me. But Feel, fifth song on the album, Feel, is when he's literally going ham. Like he's literally going ham on Feel. If anybody wants to know why you feel this album so much, well, listen to the song Feel. You know, everybody got a different song. Feel is that song. He's going in. I like the song Fear. We just
talked about. Let me ask you a question about Feel, though, real quick. Let me ask you about Feel right quick before we go to a different song. Is it me, fam? Or Feel had, in a couple of songs, had a outcast kind of feel? Am I reaching a little bit?
That's a dot reach. That is
really,
a
you think
dot
reach. No, I would disagree because let's be real. K-Dot's flow alone, it does have a three stacks kind of, you know, flow to him and shit. You could tell he learned. I won't say learned from three stacks, but three stacks is a person that he fucked with heavy though. You could tell.
Okay, I mean that may be accurate, but I mean I got no three stacks feel from that song. What I got was bars and lyricism and going ham on a track. That's the shit I like. He turned up on it. He's rhyming in one flow, and then his voice gets amped. And you know how his voice gets amped, and then on that last verse, he just started going even more crazy. So,
Speaking of voice, though, some people have a problem with Kendrick's voice. Do you? Some people say, I can't take this nigga's voice sometimes.
I've had a problem with Kendrick's voice. You know, I've had a problem with Kendrick's voice. You had to learn to accept that that's how he sounds. You know what I'm saying? But you get used to it. The more you listen to the album, you get used to it. Another song that I like that is a personal joint that I just like it is the song Love. Like, I just like the way he's dropping that shit. It's smooth, laid back, but he's just flowing, man.
I'm calling it now, son. That is, if he's smart, that will be the next single that could be flowing through the radio, and the female gender will really gravitate to that song. Agree, sir?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He can do that, and he can also, if he just wants to say, fuck it, let me go pop on you motherfuckers, That joint with Rihanna is fire too, man. Rihanna, that hook he wrote for her is fire.
Loyalty, loyalty, loyalty.
He got her flowing. He
loyalty, loyalty,
her
loyalty. Yeah, she got he got Riri flowing for real.
And I'm like, yo, listen to this shit. This, you know, he could fuck the pop people up with that. So love, loyalty, you know. This nigga got me re-listening to Humble. Like, you know what, let me fuck with this some more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was listening to it.
I'm not the biggest fan of Humble, though. I'm not the biggest fan of Humble. I like the song and the great message behind Humble. I think for me, I don't like the beat too much, I don't think, for me. But
right.
I like the message is dope.
Right. But the thing is, flows in the album. Like, I don't get a fast forward it when I hear it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, okay. I can fuck with this. I like that joint, Fear. And I definitely like the joint, God, when he talks about, yo, I like the album, man. It is a very good, very good album. Totally enjoyed
it. I'm fucking with Duckworth, produced by Ninth Wonder. Duckworth has been on repeat from when you know, Sean, we mean you listen to music for years. That one song, fam, that comes on, you're like, okay, I can't go to the next track. I gotta play this again a couple times till I get to the other track. So Duckworth did it for me. Shout out to Ninth Wonder.
Duckworth, because it's the last song I get to, so it hasn't resonated with me as much as it has with you, because he's telling that story, and I hear it, but there's so much that I already like when I'm listening that Duckworth didn't culminate the whole album the way, you know, some people like it. I mean, remind you, it sets off with DNA, where he's spazzing, you know, the beat knocks, you know, turn that shit up in the whip. That shit is, you know, so. But yeah, man, I've listened to the album maybe 5 times, just straight up, just kept listening to it. I've gone back to DNA, Feel, Love, because those are my songs. I like Triple X, you know what I'm saying?
Triple X, yes, well, you too. That was hard, man. That was hard. That's just about talking about America, gun control. I even like how the beat changed. But Kendrick is notorious for that lately, though, if you notice, though, where he'll just switch another beat on you mad quick and she like, damn, nigga, let that be right, you know?
Yes. So what's so interesting about this album is it completely invalidated everything DJ Academic said about Kendrick. Before the album came out, he was arguing with Joe Budden. I don't know about this Kendrick album. It's going to be a Shea Butter album for the Shea Butter Twitter crowd. How wrong was that? How completely wrong was DJ Academic on calling this album? This wasn't no Shea Butter Black Twitter album at all.
No Shea Butter album, at all.
So he completely misread everything. This was a straight up boom bap. Rhyming beats. This was a hip hop album. What hip hop is to me, this is what this was.
I agree, my brother. I like the album a lot. I mean, to have Kid Capri host, it's like damn near Kid Capri was hosting the album. What you thought about that also?
I didn't know if I was listening to, was somebody bootlegging it. Am I listening to, like, because I didn't realize that he really, I'm like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Kid Capri is going to resonate to me and you. It's not going to resonate to DJ Academic. It's not going to resonate to a lot of the current Kendrick fans. I don't know if they even understand the significance of Kid Capri, you know, damn near hosting this shit. But that's like complete OG stamp, complete. This is real hip hop. Real hip hop. I didn't know.
Yo, it's something that not talked about, man, is Kendrick's storytelling, my nigga. Like, even on Duckworth, he's talking about a kid named Anthony from when he was a shorty coming up to seeing shit. even on To Pimp a Butterfly, how much a dollar costs. Like, are we, do we have to put him up there in the top 10 of storytelling? Because the man's storytelling, he could paint vivid pictures through his pen, man.
About that. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I think all great lyricists can tell a story. It's just they have to decide what they want to talk about. So we've established that Kendrick Lamar is a great rapper. So it's a great rapper. Can he talk conscious shit with deep content? Yes. Can he just spaz out like he did on Control or like he did on Feel and DNA? Yeah.
Or the BT Cypher? Or the BT Cypher where he can spaz out, shit like that?
Yeah, right. So he can do that. To me, all rappers who are nice can tell a story. Big can spaz. Big can tell a story or a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Sky's the limit. Mm-hmm. He tells a story about, you know. So I think when you are a great lyricist, all you got to do, for example, Joe Budden never talks social conscious music, right? But on Freedom, when he decided
Freedom.
To talk about
yeah.
what was going on, you heard a Joe Budden that could have been on Dead Prez and Mos Def. You know what I'm saying? Because it was serious. So my thing is, if you are a lyricist, you can tell a story. So I don't give you extra props because you can tell a story. It's you just nice. You know, what LMC you know can't tell a story? That's how I look at
that. That's facts. Agree. Well said. Well said. Does Kendrick have a splash of Outkast, Tupac, Nas, and Wu mixed in him, in your opinion?
He has Outkast mixed in him. And that's it. He doesn't have those other guys you mentioned.
You don't think he got a Wu feel, though?
No way. No way.
In the shit he talks about?
No how. No way, no how. No way, no. Because when you say a Wu, when you say Wu feel, is it a lyricist that you're talking about from the Wu that gives you that feel, or is it production of the Wu? Like what? Is it Cream? Is there a Cream feel you
get? No, I think if Kendrick was there in 94 and he was in Wu-Tang Clan having those RZA beats, I could see him meshing well with the Wu. I really could see him in a group like the Wu.
I don't hear
real.
It. Okay, that's fair. Listen, I just don't hear it. Like, when you say that, the first thing that's into my mind, I'm just thinking about Cream, which is a song about, you know, been 22 long, hard, struggling, survival got me bugging, but I'm alive on arrival. I mean, shit like that is just deck at 22. Like,
talk to these niggas.
Like, what are you seeing right now? You know, the meth will come out tomorrow. Styles get busy, bizarre, bizarro. Flows with more afros than Rollo. Like, I don't get Wu feel from him. Okay, I'm just
Fosso than Rollo.
I, you know, so I'm not gonna. And that's no disrespect to him. I'm just saying, the Wu feel that you get from the vibe, I personally don't get that vibe. You know, that's no disrespect.
Is this album better than To Pimp a Butterfly? Because I like To Pimp a Butterfly a little more.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You think this album is better to I like To Pimp a Butterfly a little more. I'm not going to hold you.
Absolutely. And here's what happens. This album's going to grow on you. Remind you, this is 2 days in. This is a two-day album for us. By the end of this year, we're going to judge it against everything that came out in rap this year.
That ain't saying much, though. That's not saying much, though.
No, because we don't know what's going to come out. We're only in April. So let's not say that the hip-hop ended already. You know what I'm saying? But that's how we're going to judge it. We're going to judge it by his contemporaries, his peers in hip-hop. Did he already beat Drake? Yeah. He already beat More Life. More Life done. Okay? He already beat
Drake. All right. Not in sales. All right. Now, in sales, I would disagree, obviously. I don't think they're not sales,
no,
Drake.
No, of course.
In quality of music, yes, always. He's always going to be Drake in quality of music, in my opinion. In Subject
Absolutely.
Matter and growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wasn't even factoring in sales when I was talking about this.
No, you don't talk about that shit.
I was just talking about a quality hip-hop album. And this is a quality hip hop album. It'll be a cup of tea for people. Like, if you are, it's no diss to anybody, but if your shit is mumble rap, this album might not be your cup of tea. You know, if your style of hip hop is turn up and it's, hey, we gonna do it that day. If that's what makes you get hype and that's the kind of hip hop you like, this album might not resonate with you because Kendrick ain't doing that. Kendrick is rapping. He's rapping, rapidly rap rapping. He's rapping. You know what I'm saying? So
now
that's my take on Kendrick.
Let's talk about Mr. Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97. Yesterday morning, he went on his platform and decided to grab the mic and spew some words to the general public of the hip-hop world that Mr. Kendrick Lamar, in his opinion, is on the Mount Rushmore of hip-hop. He said also, if he's not in your top 10 already, he should be climbing in your top 5 of all time. He even said he's the best to ever do it. And then when he said he's the best to ever do it, I'm not going to say he kind of nonchalantly threw names out there on some, yeah, Nas is dope, M is dope, Pun is dope, but Kendrick is the best to ever do it. Sir, the floor is yours.
So let me tell you what's so interesting about what he said. He literally said the same exact thing about Kendrick with Joe Budden told me and you. Because Joe Budden said, when it comes to content and everything, I'm the best to ever do it. Now, I argued. I vehemently disagreed with Joe Budden saying it about himself. So how do you think I feel when Peter Rosenberg says K-Dot is the best to ever do it on my Mount Rushmore?
Before you go, you're the first person I thought about. Go ahead.
Kendrick Lamar is not on my Mount Rushmore. Kendrick Lamar is not the best to ever do it. Kendrick Lamar cannot out-rap everybody in hip-hop, and I can't. Me, personally, I can't name people who can rap with him. Yeah, I can. I can actually name a lot. I can actually name modern rappers who actually put out albums this year. And we can go song for song. We can go lyric for lyric. There are MCs in hip-hop in 2017 that can rap with Kendrick Lamar. Listen, and this is not dissing Kendrick Lamar. This is not Kendrick Lamar. Then dope. I just praised his album, right? And I'm telling you, Kendrick Lamar is not on Mount Rushmore. He's not in my top, and he's not in my top 10.
Oh boy, I thought about Papoose also. Let me throw that out there. I was waiting for Papoose to call in, like he has an app on his phone. Anytime Rosenberg starts spewing stuff about Kendrick, listen, I fucks with Kendrick. Everybody who knows me knows I fuck with Kendrick. He's one of my favorite rappers of this millennium, of this era. Yes. Now, Rosenberg, my dude, you live in the mecca of world of New York City hip-hop, my guy. Yeah, you're not born in New York City. We know you're from Maryland, this, that, and the third. Let me ask you, do you respect Rosenberg's hip-hop knowledge, first off?
Yes, I do. I respect his hip-hop knowledge. But I also acknowledge, like Papoose told him to his face, you are a Kendrick dick rider.
No, Lupe told him that, though. I think Lupe told him that, right?
Yeah, but Papoose told him that, too.
Right.
Papoose told him that. If you look at the comments under it, everybody knows he is an unapologetic Kendrick Lamar dick riding. The man damn near cried when everybody from New York wanted to control. It hurt his feelings. He couldn't believe, oh, you're going too hard. Why did you say that? Like, because he really loves Kendrick Lamar, and there's nothing wrong with having a favorite rapper. There's nothing wrong. You have a favorite rapper who can rap, who's really nice at rapping, and in his generation and his time, he's considered the best out. But here's what's so funny about hip-hop. I swear to God, I was arguing with millennials just 8 years ago that Lil Wayne was the greatest rapper alive when he came out with the Carter 3, and he had a million. Mm-hmm. Niggas literally argue, yo, Lil Wayne is the best out right now. Things changed. Now it's K-Dot.
Right.
So it's funny. I don't want to have to. It's like, do you guys have give Rosenberg a history lesson? I mean, he just casually threw out Oz, Eminem, and Pun, and nobody can out rap K-Dot. You just named three people that have done it already.
And fam, he also talked about. Hold on, he also talked about. Oh, name me two other rappers that dropped back to back classics. Oh, my nigga, there's a guy named Ghostface Killer. Who dropped Iron Man, Supreme Clientele. Redman dropped What the Album. There's a Dark Side, and you can go take a fucking Muddy Waters, and that's three right there, back to back to back.
Muddy Waters. Those three in a row are that's incredible. But wait a minute, let's take it a step further. Mobb Deep dropped three in a row. Hell on Earth. No, the Hell on Earth and Murder Music. Those three albums in a row are literally, arguably, the three greatest albums in a row from a group. Literally, no fall off. No fall off.
Let me piggyback again on my guy right here. Is a guy from Queensbridge. I don't know. His name is Nasty Nas. He had Illmatic. Then he dropped It Was Written. I'm just saying, Rosenberg.
Then he dropped I Am Rosenberg with New York State of Mind Part 2, produced by DJ Premier, but not like, produced by DJ Premier. That was his third album, Rosenberg. We don't even want to talk about his first two, because his first two, he was 20 and 22, and there was unmatched Nas. Do we want to tell you what Nas did with Dr. Dre? He has a song called Nas Is Coming, okay?
Yeah.
My shit broke in the cool drunk. You don't want no problem. So he's talking, but he's appealing to people who may not know any history of hip hop. Because what he said content. That's the thing that really flipped me off. So let's take people who maybe not be that popular. My nigga, Talib Kweli is still rapping right now, today.
Fact.
Talib Kweli has a 20-year body of work, of content, of lyricism. Talib Kweli has rapped on tracks with Pharrell Monch, Black Thought, Mos Def, all the elite MCs. What do you mean nobody can rap with K-Dot about content? Are you out of your fucking mind? Nigga, you bugging. You bugging. Now, let's put even a step. Your guest on your podcast, Joe Budden, can out rap Kendrick Lamar. Am I wrong on that?
Listen, people are going to say I'm a Joe Budden D-Rider. I know you niggas will say, but see, here's what niggas will say to us, fam. Niggas are going to say to me and you, oh, y'all niggas is bugging up there. Kendrick has better albums than Joe Budden. Niggas will talk about the albums. Now, we're talking albums. Kendrick has been very consistent on albums. That's what I'm trying to see what Rosenberg means. Like, are you talking about rhyming or are you just talking about body of work? I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. But if we're talking about albums, I give Kendrick that. Kendrick has dope albums. But it just makes me feel, fam, like the field is small if we're anointing him the best rapper to ever do it or now doing it, because that means the field of MCs is very small right now.
But here's where he's wrong. Here's where he's wrong, and it's easy to disprove him. He made it clear. He said, and when it comes to rapping, nobody can out-rap Kendrick. maybe they can rap as good as him, but nobody can out-rap him. So he took everything off the table. He just talked about the ability of rapping. So if we're just talking about the ability of rapping, Joe Budden can rap better than him. He can out-rap Kendrick. I mean, Joe Budden showed what he could do to Drake. While Kendrick didn't mention Drake's name, Joe Budden actually has 4 songs. If people don't think Joe Budden can rap, listen to his 4 diss songs aimed at Drake, and you'll find out if he can actually rap. Okay, that's just the rapping aspect. Now, as for the content and body work, Tyler, and I'm just picking just an MC just to counter Rosenberg. Talib Kweli's first 3 projects, his first album with Reflection Eternal with Mos Def, his second, which was with DJ High Tech, and then his first solo album, Quality, when he took the 4 Kanye songs, when he was rhyming, you know, Gorilla Monsoon with Black Thought and Pharoah March. But those three, the first 3 albums we've had of Talib Kweli are lyrically as good as anything K-Dot's ever did. And nobody can say, no, you're wrong. Talib Kweli's first 3 albums that he was on don't have content. They don't have lyricism. You can't say that. You can't say it, because if you say it, that means you didn't hear it. So it's so easy. It's so easy to prove Rosenberg wrong. Now, let's take it to right.
Royce the 5'9 also. We can talk about Royce the 5'9 also. Royce has been mad consistent, my nigga. Like, mad consistent, dropping dope project after dope project. Now, here's the thing. Some people will say to me and you, you and this, y'all niggas are just hip-hop nerds. Not everybody's going to, you know, we don't listen to Talib Kweli. Kendrick is giving us music that's more universal. So where do we draw the line in people like us who Harriet Tubman underground, who's going to listen to Talib Kweli and not hear what you're saying this song about Talib Kweli projects compared to Kendrick, who is the lead, one of the leaders of the new schools with Drake and Cole and shit and Big Sean not far behind?
I'm going to appeal to your love of hip-hop. If you tell me I listen to hip-hop, I love hip-hop, I like Kendrick because Kendrick can rap his ass off, I'm going to say, really? So let me introduce you to something. So there's a rapper who came on an album in March named Ransom. This is how I would introduce him. And he names his album Greatest Rapper Alive. He has a song called The Quick and the Dead. On this song, he battles Meek Mills, J. Cole, and Kendrick Lamar. It's the last song on the album. It's called The Quick and the Dead. And he actually battles them like he's in the Old West. So he's telling a story, and he's battling today's favorite MCs. And he bodied all of them. Ransom, this year, Contemporary, came out with an album. I'm appealing to Kendrick fans who love hip-hop. This is all I would tell you. This came out last month. It's a new album. I'm telling you, there are rappers who can rap with Kendrick and out-rap Kendrick. And I can easily tell Rosenberg that. Rosenberg, listen, this is no shade on Kendrick or no diss to him, but hip-hop has been here for so long. My nigga, you telling me this nigga, you telling me, I hear this, and it's iller than Men at Work from G-Rap?
Mm.
In terms of just spazzing?
But that's a whole different era, though. Some people say it's a different era, though. It's kind of hard to do that, though, right? When it's a different era and topics, topic talking and music and all that there, though.
Nope, not at all. Fucking Rick Ross is 40 years old. He just put out an album that everybody liked. Pusha T's best albums came out when he's 36 and 39. Pusha T's 39 right now. So these niggas in their late 30s who was rapping in the late 90s, remember, you just said Royce the 5'9". Royce was rapping in the 90s. Royce was rapping in the 2000s. Royce put out an album with Eminem in 2011 where he out-rapped Eminem on every goddamn song. Okay? So, yeah, we got rappers who can out-rap Kendrick. Mickey Fax tweeted, Royce is the greatest. And you know what? Mickey Fax can make a better case for Royce as in pure MC than Rosenberg can make for Kendrick Lamar. Because Royce has that body of work. We heard the bar exam. You know what I'm saying? We know. We heard him rap on Slaughterhouse. No, Black Hippie lyrically cannot fuck with Slaughterhouse. or can they?
Yeah, let's see. I'm glad you say, oh, they, oh, can they? I'm glad you left that caveat
I'm
there. I'm glad you left
you.
That last part.
I'm asking you, because if you think Schoolboy Q and J-Rock, how can
see,
I
that's what, see, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because, son, some niggas will say that they like Absol and J-Rock more. I like Kendrick more. I like J-Rock and shit, and I like Absol. Absol, even on your first album, I was like, oh, kind of disappointed, but that's neither here nor there. But some people like those niggas more than K-Dot. Not me personally, but some people do.
Okay, that's fine. But I'm telling you right now, they can't fuck with Slaughterhouse. They can't. They not on that lyrical level. None of them niggas are. None of them niggas are. Like, Slaughterhouse, to me, personally, is the greatest collection of MCs in a group ever. In one group. There's no weak point. There's no weak
after
point.
The rule. After the rule.
No, they are the greatest collection of MCs in one group. No weak point. There's no you God. There is no you God in Slaughterhouse.
Yo, leave Golden Arms alone, fam. You need Golden Arms alone.
I'm not, no disrespect. You know Wu's my group. But let's be for real. Every member of Slaughterhouse is a lyrical demon. It's a pure lyricist in every sense of the
but
word.
But some people would say Slaughterhouse has never dropped an album like Wu-Tang Forever or 36 Chambers, my dude, or even
I'm
the fucking W.
We're not a better group than Wu. I'm not comparing that, man. I'm not comparing
okay.
that. Let's get that out of the way. I'm not comparing that at all, and it's not some people will say. Everybody will say it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not crazy.
Right.
But I will tell you.
This. But I agree with you about Slaughterhouse, though. As a four-horseman unit, like over as a group compiled of more than three niggas, four niggas, they're very dope as fuck, man. Joel, Crooked, Royce, and Joe. Yeah, that's a mean squad. That's like damn near cave game.
Let me take to Rosenberg. Rosenberg, Kendrick Lamar is not a better West Coast lyricist than Crooked Eye. And to say that is an insult to hip-hop. You're insulting hip-hop when you say...
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Rap.
Lyricism or when they go in... All right, what's it... Here again, we have to separate the lyricism of a Crooked Eye compared to a Kendrick when they go in the booth and just compile songs with lyricism and have a hot hook and compile 13 joints where we don't really have to fast forward. I don't know if Crooked Eye could do that like Kendrick can, though. And Crooked Eye, I would give you, is a better lyricist than Kendrick.
Okay, so let me just tell you this. Hip-hop, to me, has always been a lottery. Sometimes you get lucky. You know, you got some MCs who make it and some MCs who don't. Kendrick Lamar on his lyrical style, he made it. Planet Asia didn't make it like him. Ross Costa didn't make it like him. Why did those West Coast guys not make it like him? And they rap, and they can, and they have that rap lyrical ability. You know, they're West Coast rhyme spitters. You know, Kendrick Lamar is in an era where it's a change generation. And people will argue they like J. Cole better. I will argue I like Big Sean better. I like Big Sean better than Kendrick. I'm not saying he's nicer, but I like listening to him more than I like listening.
I disagree with that. Okay.
No, I'm not. This is, I'm not telling you. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just telling you my personal opinion.
I like
Big Sean better. I like his albums better. But let's be clear. Rosenberg is not talking about albums and song making. He said Kendrick Lamar should be on our Mount Rushmore.
That's crazy.
And Kendrick Lamar can out rap anybody. That's what he said.
That's crazy.
Can't out rap the niggas I listen to. Are you crazy? He cannot out rap the niggas I listen to. And I got 30 fucking years of MCs to name that he cannot out rap. So when people go, you're going too far back with G-Rap. No, I'm not. G-Rap was like fucking Mad Mob Deep albums in the 90s. He rapped all through the 90s, through the late 80s.
Thanks.
You ain't fucking with him. And when I say that, is people look at me like I'm crazy because I'm telling you G-Rap is nicer than Kendrick? A nigga can't tell me that and be like, nigga, crazy, you old head nigga. That's that old school shit. I'll lose respect. Big Pun is locked up. Big Pun and Black Thought said it themselves. We became a group because of Men at Work. Questlove said it. We became a group because of Men at Work. Black Thought made a song called Thought at Work. Big Pun, lyrical Big Pun, said when he first met G-Rap, he bowed. He bowed before him like, you're the greatest. These are what great MCs. You know Nas? You know Nas, the Nas that's arguably the greatest MC of all time? He loves G-Rap. He did Fast Life with G-Rap. Okay? Like, if I'm telling people, Rosenberg, that G-Rap can out-rap Kendrick, and he has a long list of verses that I like better than Kendrick verses, I'm not old school and I'm not sounding crazy. I'm giving you the real. I'm giving you hip hop.
Do you think when Rosenberg says shit like that though, it makes fans who don't really fuck with Kendrick not want to fuck him even more when Rosenberg makes those kind of statements?
Yes. And I'll give you a perfect example. That Kendrick Lamar control verse was a verse where he was just rapping. And
nah, what you mean he was rapping, my nigga? He was spazzing, son. What you mean?
He was just rapping. And I'll tell you why. Because look how the MCs from New York took that. They was like, what? You watched it.
Yo, my nigga, you forget. Hold on, my nigga. Let me tell you why control was so fire, in my opinion. Okay? Not on top of the bars, on top of him calling out his compadres, niggas that's in his class, he had New York in a frenzy. He had niggas running to the booth. Fab was asking niggas on Twitter, can you find a fucking studio? Fab, did you find a studio? To this day, we don't know. But he had niggas out here. He had niggas out here wilding, son. Joel, Joe, Cassidy. All these niggas off one verse while Kendrick is sitting back in L.A. fucking Compton smoking Kush and wearing his Chucks and seawalking, my nigga. Come on, man.
So let me ask you a question. You heard Joel Ortiz's control verse. What did you think about it?
Fire. I thought Joel Ortiz was fire.
You thought it was fire,
dope.
Right?
I thought it was dope.
Super dope, right? And you know why I was dope? And you know why
Super
Joel
dope.
And you know why Joel did that with Ease? Because when Joel heard that, he was like, really, my nigga? What you think you just did? The illest thing you ever heard? Watch what I do to this. And that's what the New York critics did. Graf did it. Joel Ortiz did it. Joe Budden did it. Like, they really rapped over, like, really? This is the apex? This is top tier, you know, hip-hop to you millennials, to you new niggas? This is what y'all consider the illest verse y'all ever heard? And then Joel Ortiz effortlessly spazzed on it. You heard Joel Ortiz's verse, I'm like, damn. So my point is, there's MCs who can rap with Kendrick and out-rap him. It's already been proven. Already been proven. It's easy to bark on both.
I apologize.
What happened?
No, I mean, I'm letting you go, brother.
Nah. It's easy to go on Rosenberg. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he is an unapologetic supporter of Kendrick. And there's nothing wrong with that. But my nigga, don't tell me niggas can't out-rap him. I listen to a lot of people that can out-rap him. Maybe y'all niggas don't. Maybe Kendrick fans don't because they don't know nothing else about hip-hop. They know Kendrick. But not me. You can't tell that shit to me. Tell that shit to DJ Academics, man. Don't tell that shit to me. Word up.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, brother. I'm not going to go. Now, here's another concern that I have. That's why I'm going back to the field is small for Rosenberg to make those comments. And also, when I'm hearing Kendrick, I like Kendrick, man, but I cannot put him in no Mount Rushmore of all time. That's just blasphemy. First of all, Mount Rushmore only consists of four people. Who the hell are you knocking off if we – I mean, I don't know. Everybody got their own personal – opinion of who their Mount Rushmore is, but the usual suspects, I mean, I can't. I think that's a reach. And is his affiliation with TDE blind him also, do you think?
I don't know what the story is with him and his love affair with Kendrick Lamar, but it's insulting. It's insulting that as an avid consumer, a hip-hop nerd, like you say. I'm a hip-hop junkie. Like Smooth Stack. That's
Shout out Ice and Smooth right quick. Like an ICE.
So I consider myself a hip hop junkie. And, you know, putting him on my Mount Rushmore, my man, you can't make my 80s Mount Rushmore. You can't make my 90s Mount Rushmore. You can't make my 2000s Mount Rushmore. You know, I can take four MCs from the last three different decades, and Kendrick Lamar cannot stand next to any of those guys.
But she's this millennium's Mount Rushmore, though. I think we have to say that as the future going forward.
But that's not what Rosenberg said.
He should have said that.
Your Mount Rushmore right now. No, he's not. He's not in my Mount Rushmore. Okay? He's just not. I mean, come on, man. Shit was insulting, man. It just, you know, and I hate, you know what I hate about the new era of social media? That whoever's on top for the time being, they're literally rewriting hip-hop history. They're literally making you forget that there was a era when there was other MCs. You know what I'm saying? And Rosenberg did that. Did you see how he casually just said, I know Nas, I know M, I know Point. Like, he just threw that out there like, what do you mean you know Nas? Like, that was a disrespect what he did. And it was insulting, man. And nobody called him out. Fucking Ebo just sitting there, man, giggling like it's so funny. Because he knew that it was going to cause people to disagree with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I disagree with it, man.
I totally
agree, man. That nigga's bugging. That nigga's bugging, my nigga. He's bugging.
Oh, man. Let's go here right quick, man. Let's talk about groups that got their loves, in a sense, if you were a hip-hop nerd or hip-hop junkie like me and yourself. But where would you rank these particular groups? I'm going to go M.O.P., EPMD, Tribe Called Quest, and De La Soul, sir.
To me personally, you ready?
Right.
EPMD, one out of the groups you just named. EPMD, one, no debating. From Strictly Business to Unfinished Business to Business as Usual to the one with Redman and Headbangers. It was a business one.
Business and Personal.
That
one was fire.
That EPMD one, I mean, this was four albums in a row, man. That was
word.
That was just you don't understand how impactful that was. Mind you, it takes me out of high school and my first 2 years of college. That's EPMD. Mm-hmm. So you know those are impactful times of your life. So when you think about that part of your life, you like, what music was I listening to? I was listening to Eric and Parrish making dollars, nigga.
Dollars.
This is the rap season. When the E starts,
the Green Eyed Bandit, nigga.
Okay, that's shit. They introduced Redman. You know what I'm saying?
Talk about it. Dos FX.
Oh my God! Like
K Solo, Illegal.
So I got EPMD one. Now you said Tribe, De La, and MOP. Out of all of those groups, Tribe may have the best album, which is the Low End Theory. The Low End Theory to me was better than the Midnight Marauders. Just better because
Let's discuss that. Hold on.
Let's discuss it. The Low
End Theory. I'm thinking now, man.
I'll tell you why.
On production, you probably would have to go. That's tough, man. That's tough.
I'll ask you right now. Let's talk about the first two lead singles of the albums, and you tell me which one you like better. Which song did you like better? You, Three, Check the Rhyme, or Award Tour?
Check the Rhyme twice on Sunday.
I know you did. Okay? That's the Low End Theory, and that sums it up. I'll give you a better example. Let's talk about Posse Cuts. You got a song with Law Professor XGP. You know, rapper Nas on topic, Queens, we gonna stop it. You know, remember when he name dropped Nas on the Midnight Rider song? And by the way, I love that song.
I love that shit too, though.
Against Scenario, which one do you like better?
I'm gonna keep it so I like the Scenario remix more than the original version, but that's neither here
nor there. With Hood, right?
Yeah.
The guy who died.
Yeah. But he died and shit, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But did you like Scenario?
Love Scenario. Come on, man.
Okay.
That's another classic. That's what, yo, my nigga. Scenario is damn near top five, if not top ten, best posse cuts ever, but that's just being real.
That's being real, but my man, we're talking about this is the Low End Theory album. This is why I said the Low End Theory album, not only is it one of the greatest rap albums of all time, it's one of the greatest albums, period, of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The jazz fusion, we got the jazz vibe.
I could do without Sky Pager, though.
And I could do it without One Time for Your Mind. I told you, you can have a classic album with a couple of duds, man.
I can do without Sky Pager.
Okay.
I really can do without. And what is the what? I can do without what is the what?
I'll fuck with that. No. I'll fuck with that. I'll fuck with that.
What's Santa not if it doesn't have a city?
yeah. Come on. I'll fuck with what? Hey, like, wait a minute. What about Show Business with Brand Nubians?
My nigga, Showbiz with Brand Newman is fire. I'm not going to hold you, my nigga. But Excursions, I can do Excursions. Excursions too.
Wait a minute. Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you could find the
right,
abstract.
Yes.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. No, but I ain't going to hold you, though. Fife got one of the illest solo cuts ever in Tribe albums, though, on Low End Theory. I'm not going to hold you, though.
Okay, so my man, that's all. Listen.
Yeah, I agree with you. But let's start from Midnight Marauders. Like Midnight Marauders.
Wait, hold on.
And Rosenberg, that was another album. Rosenberg, Food for Thought. Even though I didn't like Tribe's first album, People, Instincts, whatever, and all that, Elsa Gundo shit, I didn't like that shit. I didn't like that album too much. But Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders, those two albums back to back were fucking flames. Whatever.
Those two albums back to back are better than two Kendrick albums back to back, in my opinion. How about that? What do you think? Are there two Kendrick albums, in your opinion, better than the Low End Theory and Midnight Marauder back to back?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
So am I. Now, De La Soul and MOP. MOP is a great group. Who never put together their Infamous or their Cuban Links.
Warriors album was fire, though, my nigga. The Warriors album was so fucking fire.
Listen, I love MOP. I have every MOP album. They just don't have that definitive classic. They have classic songs. They have classic moments. I love them. But they don't have a De La Soul Is Dead, which is a classic. De La Soul Is Dead, De La Soul's second album, is a classic. You may not like it.
I'm going to be real with you. I like MOP more than De La Soul.
So do I. Wait a minute. Listen, so do I. I love MOP more than De La Soul. But I'm telling you, MOP does not have an album as good as De La Soul Is Dead. They do not have
De La Soul Is Dead is fucking classic, though. I ain't gonna hold you, though. That shit is classic.
Come on, man. It was a classic album. So with those, EPMD easily ranked one. Tribe got some. You see.
So my nigga, some people will put Tribe over EPMD, though, son.
Yeah, but Fife doesn't. Like Fife said, favorite rap group in the book is EPMD. Favorite group one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to quote Fife on that. God bless him. You know what I'm saying? Fife knew what it was. It's like,
shit.
I know what it is.
Hey.
Okay? So, you know, EPMD, but Tribe is more revered than EPMD because they have, you know, Tip, you know, Tip Tribe is more of a vid than EPMD, but trust me, the EPMD run is classic hip hop. Once again, it's another part of hip hop history that's just being erased. It's being erased. EPMD, two man group, but Outkast will forever be universally not recognized as greater than EPMD, right? Because of their success.
Yeah.
Because of the, not to me. It can't be. It's just not to me. You know, I don't put Outkast over EPMD. Now, people who, you know.
It's a demographic thing with that, though. It's a demographic thing with that. It's where you live at and where you've been around them.
Absolutely. Because remember, you have people who think Outkast was better than Wu.
Of course.
They think better than Mob. So
I respect that.
Okay. You know, I know people are fine. You know what I'm saying? They respect these stacks. But, hip-hop groups, the demographic-wise, if you're not in your late 30s, early 40s, you just don't know about, you know, the 80s. It's not
right.
Your fault you was born in 93 and 90. Like, if you was, you just don't know. You know,
right.
So that's,
and it's
that's
a shame
that.
That it's a shame, my nigga, that radio can't. Y'all see the radio y'all listening to now, man, wasn't the radio that we was come up listening to, man. You can play whatever the fuck you want on the radio, man, and it won't have to be the same song being played 30 fucking times, son. It's the Magic Red Alert, man. Like niggas like we grew up on, man. Jesus Christ, man.
And the artists that they were breaking at the time, I mean, I don't think people understand. Like, they're talking about Kendrick, J. Cole, and Big Sean. So those are the of now. So just imagine, we're talking Kane, Rakim, G-Rap, Chuck D. They're all out at the same time. They're all putting out albums at the same time. And they're all dead nice. We will argue who's better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People would argue KRS. And what can I say? You're bugging? I couldn't say that. People would argue Kane.
Yep.
I couldn't say you're bugging. Rakim had a diehard fan base. That was the era in New York where it was about righteousness,
right.
5%ers. I mean, Rakim, you couldn't, there was nobody, you just couldn't say a negative word about Rakim. You know, Chuck D.
He basically changed the game, my nigga, in 86, man. He basically changed the game. Rap was
no question about it. I mean, it was the most drastic change in hip hop to the point where, if you listen to him rhyme, he doesn't sound outdated of how lyrical it was. And this is 80s shit, man. Listen to No
right.
Ledge. Listen to how he's rhyming.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? That was in 92. So my point is, he ushered in a complete new way to rhyme. But I'm gonna say this though, before Rakim. T. La Rock had a song that could have, you know, he just never had a follow-up that went anywhere. But in terms of sounding different from the throw your hands in the air, y'all, and wait, I'm like, you just don't get it. T. La Rock sounded very different from that. It was like commentating, illustrating, description. Like, it was lyrical. She's like, whoa, what is this?
Right.
But it no, there was no follow-up.
Hold on. Are we fighting on LL, though? Because LL was before Rakim.
LL rocked the bells. Rock the bells was before that.
Yeah, I'm not a virgin,
so you know I make Madonna scream. And LL Cool J is hard as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care if you tell. I excel. They all was. Yo, my man, this nigga was 15, 16 years old when he did that. Yo, do you understand that? Are you accepting that? That he was 14 when he did I Need a Beat?
Yeah, that's crazy, son.
Like,
LL,
come on, man.
Gotta give LL map respect, my nigga. Like, for
Listen, I will quote Royce on this. And this is why I would love to talk to Royce. Because Royce says Eminem is the GOAT, right? And I think Royce calls Eminem the GOAT because Eminem basically saved his life and made him financially stable. Like, Eminem did that for him. So he says that. But if you have an if they really interview, when you hear voice interview, voice will tell you, I used to do routines for my family being L. Cool J. That's who I wanted to
be.
Well,
he looks like LL too, though, my nigga. Let's keep it real.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, in terms of the impact, you can clearly,
right.
His lived life experience was LL Cool J. So when he just says Eminem is the GOAT, he's lying to himself. Because the person he wanted to be was LL. The reason why he wanted to rap is LL. And he could rap all of LL songs. You can't discount that. You can't erase that part of your history and say some nigga like K-Dot should be on your Mount Rushmore. No. See, I'm going back to your man Rosenberg, man.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. My nigga, man. We got to get up again, man, and do this, man. This is dope, man. I appreciate rock with me. We got to keep our ears open to anything that's dropping so we can get up there and splash on niggas when they start talking crazy. Though, what have you thought about DJ Academics before we go? Academics and Joe Budden shit so far.
Why don't you give me my props? Didn't I call it before it even happened?
Yes, you
didn't
did, sir.
I
will always give
my
props. I will always give you props.
No, no, no. But I'm saying with this one in particular, when you first asked me, I told you this is what was going to happen. Joe Budden was going to get incredulous. He was going to get aggravated. He was going to be like, I can't believe the type of shit this nigga's saying. And he even is more over the top than I thought he would act. Like, he's literally spazzing in Complex. Arguing, like, he's literally running about arguing with writers for both. Like, because
we love that, though, don't we, yo? We love that, though, low key, though. We love that, though.
No, no, but I told you that would happen. So when he was like, yo, it's going to really resonate because Academic can talk about the youth and the younger generation, but the problem with this is they're talking about the mainstream shit. Joe Budden knows about Nicki. He knows about Kendrick. He knows about Meek. He knows about the shit they're talking about. They didn't talk to 21 Savage, Lil Uzi Vert, Kodak Black shit yet. You know what I'm saying? So whatever DJ Academic's strengths are, they're not there yet. So that's why Joe Budden can literally bully him and just give him a 30-piece on every fucking interview. Like I said he would. Like I said he would.
Oh, man. Bam. Once again, man, we can do this, man. I appreciate you rocking me, fam. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Westbrook MVP. Clearly
facts,
no debate.
I agree.
Okay, all
right. All right, my G. All
right,
my nigga. That's what it is, man. PSA motherfucking podcast. You already know what it is, man. Subscribe to the channel. Day 2, give me the dot. We'll definitely have a recap. 1.